Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Today I sit down with spaceflight analyst for Space News Pod, Neil Thorne, and we talk about SpaceX's latest innovation, the Starship, and the orbital flight test that will be happening in about the next few weeks to the next month. So sit back and relax as we have this discussion between Neil and myself about the Starship. Now let's talk about Starship and the orbital flight test.
There we go. Great.
All right, cool. So they've been building this thing for years, and they've been on the cusp of possibly launching the Starship in 2021, another time in 2022, and now we're here in 2023, March, April 5th, we're recording this, and possibly on April 10th was the initial due date for a potential launch of Starship, but there's been a lot of activity for the orbital flight test down at Starbase recently. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. And what do you like? What's going on down there? It's ramping up.
It must be so exciting to be in SpaceX's offices these days, whether you're in California or in Texas. It'd be amazing to be going through all the last minute checks and triple checking, quadruple checking every valve and every little thing that goes into these rockets just to make sure that everything's going to be okay. We're just over 2 years past SN11's fatal crash above the landing pad. 2 years is a long time. Let's get this thing going.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's got to be a spectacle. And as Elon said, it's got to be excitement guaranteed. So whether it makes it off the pad and clears the tower, that's going to be incredible. But there's been so much work done from when I was down there, like in 2021, like the late stages of 2021 through 2022 early, where everything was bare bones and we were expecting a launch, to now where there's cladding around the launch mount, this protective cladding, like you can't even see any of the pipeworks anymore. Everything's protected.
It's been interesting to watch the evolution of the orbital launch mount. It was all open, as you say, and there were just six legs holding this thing up in the air. And since they started doing static fires on top of that, they've started to add more protection to the legs and more structure to the legs. And now we've got cladding around the outside. I think that the fire from these engines is going to do more damage than they originally thought it would. So they're really trying to beef that up.
Yeah. And
but it's all.
Go ahead. Okay. So we saw from the Artemis 1 launch too, that there was so much damage to the mobile launch tower from that rocket. And that was designed by engineers to withstand that blow. And it's like there's a trench under that to deflect the heat, and there's a water deluge system.
That is the main thing that this is missing for sure.
Yeah. And there's little sprinklers, like little bird feeder sprinklers down there at Boca Chica at Starbase. And yeah, the damage could be substantial for the initial launch. So
that's the one thing that I've always wondered about with SpaceX. Certainly they don't have a flame diversion trench, which is something, and that their reasoning for it is valid, I guess. And there's a very high water table where they are, and they think that the height that they've got it at is enough. But the deluge system they have seems very underpowered to me. Even with the flame diversion trench in Florida, the amount of water that pours into there during a launch is incredible, and we just don't seem to have that down in Texas.
They do have the pipes. It seems like they brought the water deluge system to Boca Chica, to Starbase, but they haven't hooked it up yet. So either that wasn't some sort of water deluge system, or maybe they brought the things over there to do a water deluge system, and then they figured that it couldn't work for some reason. The engineers saw the equipment firsthand and thought it wouldn't work for some reason, and they just were just like, we can't do this here. We still have to launch this thing because we still have to do an orbital flight test. But what's gonna happen when they do launch this? And right now they're at a point, they just stacked up ship 24 on top of booster 7. So they have a full stack of the booster and the rocket and in the upper stage ready to go. And, and all signs pointed to a launch around the 10th or 11th, which we know now is probably not going to happen, more than likely not going to happen. But it doesn't seem like there's any wiggle room here. Like, they have to get everything ready to go for this launch. And I don't think they're going to wait a couple months to put this deluge. Like,
yeah, we're done with new things being added.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's nothing new going to be added to this system at this point. They've got it to a point where everything works, as far as they can tell, and as far as they could test it. But we're not going to be adding any new systems to what they've got down there at this point. It's too late in the run here. They're just going to have to see how the orbital launch mount handles this in the end and see what kind of damage is done afterwards. There's still the first object of this launch is to get past the tower without blowing up. We could see a very damaged tower at the end of this if something goes horribly wrong. I guess they're expecting some damage.
Yeah, I think they're expecting some damage. And the other thing is, with that damage, like, how substantial will that be? Will they be set back 3-4 months? And they know what's going to happen, more than likely going to happen to these systems. So they probably figure that into their next builds. If something happens to the orbital launch mount, they already have one at Kennedy Space Center that they're working on that should be done within a year. So if it's going to take 6 months to a year to build this one back up, of course, they'll continue working here, but the Kennedy Space Center one, they'll keep building that over there as well, because they need more than one place to launch these.
I don't think that they're very worried about the damage. I know there's going to be some damage. That's why we're seeing all this extra cladding put on. They believe that the potential for damage is there. But remember, they want to launch several of these this year from Texas. So I don't think that they're going to build in a 6-month rebuild schedule unless something really bad happens. Unless that, like, the tower gets really damaged or something along those lines. So I think that they're expecting some damage, but it's probably something that can be replaced within a month.
I hope so. With the I'm assuming it's hundreds of yards of wiring and cables and pipes and things like that. It would, if they just obliterated that orbital flight orbital mount, it would take a long time to fix it.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing if it goes like completely bad, completely, and everything gets fried, all the pipes, all the wires, everything, they have schematics, but it would take months to rebuild everything. But that's why that cladding is there, the protection, so that doesn't happen, hopefully. And
yeah, everything that's not underneath that cladding is expected to get fire blown on it from 33 engines.
Yeah.
And it should be able to last and withstand that. I think that it's just, as you say, those an insulated wire behind that cladding that's not behind a metal shield. That's what they're worried about. But that's also some of the stuff that's easiest to replace as well.
Yeah. They have a team of professionals down there that can do it.
The beauty of the orbital launch mount is that everything's underneath that cladding. Everything's open.
Yep.
There's a lot of space behind there to work in. There's nothing sort of, I'm sure there's some stuff on top of each other, but not much. Everything's attached to the inside of that launch mount, one deep, if you will. So that's all accessible. It looks like it to me anyway.
Yeah, it seems there's plenty of room to fix things up.
Yeah.
It would just take the extra effort to get the pipes rebuilt and the wires rewired and things like that. But I don't want to be all doom and gloom on this thing, because it's going to be a phenomenal launch. And there's the FAA safety evaluation seems to be complete at this point. But there's one legal review, I think, is underway, and there's an environmental issue.
Environmental issue was the biggest
out.
One I heard of.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. I haven't seen what exactly that is. So I don't know how long that's going to take to close out, or, you know, what they need to do. So we can only speculate of when the next time they could fly this, or when the first time it would be to fly this thing.
Yeah, I think we'll hear in the next 2 days. It's Wednesday today. I think by Friday, I think we'll have that launch license in hand.
I think so too. I think it'll happen.
We, SpaceX.
Yeah, us fans of SpaceX, the public that loves this thing. Eric Berger said, for what it's worth, SpaceX has told NASA it's targeting April 10th with backup days of April 11th and 12th for the Starship orbital flight test. None of this is official without a launch license, and that the usual caveats apply. Who knew when HOP applied to more than Easter bunnies? But then an FAA spokesperson said the April 10th date's appearance on the agency's plan advisory should not be interpreted as an indicator that a determination to issue a license has been made or is forthcoming. But they also said that before the other launch licenses for the experimental craft, the Starships that launched and landed, they were saying those kind of things. And it just happened like a couple days later.
For some reason, they keep the cards very close to their chest.
Yeah.
They don't want to give anything away or release any information that people could actually use and run with hold on to their power as long as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. But then they know what?
They've got to make sure everything's safe and ready to go.
Yeah.
T's are crossed and the I's dotted.
Yeah. And they have a space operations warning for a Starship on the 10th and the 11th through 12th. It seems like it's not going to be then, but at least we know it's coming really soon. And there was what's the airborne science program? WB-57 plane slated for the 10th and 11th to do imaging for it.
Yeah. And they had a helicopter delivered to SpaceX as well last week.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. They're ready. They've got their drones in the sky and a human operated drone as well now.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go. They're getting ready. I shouldn't say they're ready to go, but they're getting ready to go. They're showing every indication that something really is on the horizon real fast.
Yep. Yep.
It's important to note that Sunday is Easter as well. For a lot of the people that work at SpaceX, they probably won't be working on Sunday. So having a flight on Monday that's a long shot from that perspective.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be off unless SpaceX makes them work, which is highly doubtful. They're not in a hurry here other than needing to get things going, but they're not on a daily day hurry. They're on a month to month, year to year hurry.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting ready for the lunar lander missions and they're getting ready for Starlink missions, and that takes years. Another indicator that I found that they're not going to launch on the 10th is the road closure for the 10th from Cameron County is a non-flight testing activities on April 10th between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. and it also alternative dates of the 11th and the 12th. So it seems not going to fly on the 10th because that Cameron County, they would say space flight activities and they'd be like, get out of here. We cannot have you down here, people. We're going to close this road for miles and you're not allowed in. Seems like not quite sure when, but I'm assuming in the next few weeks, people are saying the 17th. There's some rumors that it's getting pushed back about 10 days altogether. Maybe
I wouldn't be surprised.
420.
I mean, maybe 420. Here we go.
April 20th. Yeah, you know, it's Elon, so you never know. Which would be, I mean, if that were the case,
is
that
it
would
Elon
be
though?
Pretty,
is it Elon or is it not Elon?
It's a bunch of people, but if Elon had his say,
the exact date,
he would probably meme it up.
I'm guessing it's more Gwen than Elon at this point.
100%
down there.
Yeah, he would laugh if it were slated for 420. But also, we have to remember that most of the time, these launches don't happen the first time, and that things can get sidetracked and like they could find something wrong with the rocket or the fueling or the ground systems. And it could be pushed back like the SLS launch a month or two.
For sure.
Just to fix
something
or other.
There could definitely be something wrong. Now, SLS is a bit different though. SLS was a one shot, one go. This is our only chance situation. Everything had to be 100% perfect. We already know that S-24 and Booster 7 are outdated technology as far as SpaceX is concerned. These are rockets that have been around for rocket pieces that have been around for a long time now. They're moving on. They're building Ship 30 or something like this at this point. They've changed a lot of things already. These are iterative rockets and testing that they have already changed things. We don't know what they've changed specifically, but these are not the same rockets they're building today.
Yeah. So that's a really great point.
Just throw it up in the air is basically what I'm saying and see what happens.
Yeah.
As opposed to SLS, which you only get one shot at the SLS.
That's true. Yeah. Because you don't have extras.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's up to 30 at this point. And then they're going to be building more. They don't even have enough room for everything inside. Like everything has to be moved to the other, like to the rocket garden or down the way to the old Massey's gun range. And they'll just store them like in a dirty, dusty area where it's super hot. Like it is so
It's so counterintuitive to everything else we see.
Oh my gosh. These clean rooms and everything.
NASA or Boeing or whoever. Yeah.
And it's just getting pelted by sand and
and
all
salt
the time.
Air.
Salt air and
which
just
is the absolute
heat,
worst
the
thing,
sun,
right?
All the time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a wild process.
It's brutal. It's brutal down there.
But that's why I think you see ships get decommissioned before they get a chance to fly. Is it S-26 that got decommissioned already? I can't remember which one it was, but one of them got pulled away and taken apart. They just can't sit around. They can't sit around for 6 months and expect it to fly again. So just because it's a harsh environment, it really is.
Yeah, and anything could go wrong in this sort of environment. If it could go wrong. A cable, a nut could freeze up due to corrosion
it's the smallest
or whatever.
Stuff. It's the smallest stuff in these rockets is the problem. It's the wiring, the smallest
the tiny
wire
things,
is more susceptible to solid air than the exterior of the hull, which is visible and easy to see. So yeah, it's a delicate operation down there.
Yeah, it really is. They just did a cryo test on Booster 7 to make sure that all the plumbing of the ground systems worked and the plumbing inside Booster 7 is still functional before they stacked Ship 24 on top of it. So that seems to be good.
That was a full test.
Yeah.
100% full.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to see these rockets not implode or explode when they're doing these tests anymore. Remember back then, the original versions of Starship, it would just explode for no reason. Amazing. Not for no reason.
And pieces would fly for miles. Like this shrapnel of like steel would fly for miles.
The good ones, the ones my favorite are the implosions. It's so cold inside that the exterior air just squeezes it. Squishes it like an orange in your hand.
It is spectacular. If anything, you know, this orbital flight test, anybody that's listening to this or watching this, if you have no plans to watch this orbital flight test, I urge you to go to SpaceX's YouTube channel and subscribe to it and get a notification when this launch is going to happen. Because if anything, it's going to be dramatic and it's going to be one of the most exhilarating rocket launches when it happens that you'll ever see, because
this
you do
this
not
will
know
be
what's going to happen.
The most powerful rocket ever launched.
Yes.
Ever.
It could be.
So far, it's SLS.
Could be amazing.
This will take it over.
Yep. This will be the most powerful. And
by a private company.
Yeah. Did you hear about the rover that they're sending on a Starship too, by the way?
You mean later on in 2026?
In 2026, yeah. They're absolutely sending a rover. That's incredible. Like a private company that builds private rovers is going on a private rocket on a private mission to the moon. And the company that's building it, what is it called? Astrolab. I saw the system, and I know we're getting a little bit off topic here from Starship, but this is it's a really cool system. And building on the technology of old moon rovers and like the way that they got the data from the original moon missions, they're building on that, but they're also using this rover and the Starship, which is the lunar Starship version, to build colonies on the moon for NASA if they get the government contract. But if they don't, they have other private companies that will kind of rideshare on this rover and you'll be able to do scientific experiments on it. I thought it was a pretty cool kind of sidebar about what the Starship is going to be capable of in the future.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And it's one of the reasons that the lunar Starship won the competition to be the lunar base, as it were. There's just so much more space for activities inside this thing. You can fit a rover in there as well as all the astronauts that you want to send. You can fit all kinds of things inside this Starship that you wouldn't be able to fit in the other competition that was out there.
Yeah, so some of their promotional videos that they shows tons of cargo being lowered down from the Starship, which we know it's capable of doing that. But then also a couple of astronauts pop out of the thing and get on the rover and drive over to the moon base that these rovers automatically created autonomously while the astronauts were inside, like safely inside of the Starship. So
absolutely.
So this
launch
is going to be
recently watched it. We're going off topic again here. We're back. We're on the moon now all of a sudden.
Yeah,
we haven't even launched this thing. We're on the moon already. But I watched a video recently about a 3D home printing company down in, I believe it was Arizona, but they're building 100 homes with these 3D printers. They have 7 gigantic 3D printers that are printing, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 square foot homes, but using this sort of fast drying concrete that, that they make on site. And it just, everything that you're looking at screams Moon, Mars, right? This is how they're going to build this stuff. This is how it's, what it's going to look like. And they're really quite beautiful. They leave the interior and exterior as the sort of formed concrete. That's the texture of the interior walls. So it's got this sort of 2 centimeter high concrete layer, I guess, as the 3D printer goes across. And they just get layered up. So it's all imperfect. It's all sort of very organic, and it's beautiful. And that's cool. Exactly how they're going to do this on the moon as well as Mars. This is how we're going to get our bases built, is using this technology for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And Starship will be able to transport those things because it's such a massive rocket. It'll be able to transport those 3D printers to the moon's surface, which
absolutely
just seems incredible to me that this is going to become a thing, and it's going to happen because of this launch within the next, I'm going to say 30 days, just because you never know what's going to happen with these launches.
We went from the 10th to the 17th,
yeah, and now, from the 10th to 17th,
now we're in May. 30,
you never know, because postponements, you could scrub a launch, something could happen. There's automated systems that could stop a launch within, what was it? There was a rocket, I forgot, maybe, was it Rocket Lab? I can't remember who it was, but they just did a scrub at 0.00. And yeah, it was like milliseconds before the launch because they found something wrong with the rocket. And that could happen with Starship too. Like, they have those same systems in place where it might not launch, but when it does, it's going to be a beautiful thing. And the boosters.
It's so nice to be talking about days or weeks rather than, I don't know when, or perhaps next year.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. And it doesn't matter what day it actually launches for me. I just know what's going to happen. And that's so exciting. You yourself, you spent a year down in Texas following this rocket and this system and this company. And you didn't get to see this launch. It took an extra year and a half beyond what we thought it was going to be. And it's a shame, but that's the way things are. But here we are. We're almost there.
Yeah, we're real close. So just a quick reminder of what's going to happen during the launch. The booster will carry the Starship off the pad. They'll go over the Gulf. This is a really brief version. They'll go over the Gulf of Mexico.
33 Raptors.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be massive. Then the booster is going to land in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere, and it was a soft landing, hopefully. And the Starship will go all the way towards Hawaii and land in the Pacific Ocean and in a naval base area. And that'll land in the water as well. So it's going to be a significant launch for SpaceX to test their landing thrusters as well, and not just the launch itself, but the landing of these.
I certainly hope they do. They'll be happy just to get this ship into almost orbit. They're not intending to go all the way to orbit speed, but it'll be nice for them to get it at that point and not recover any of these things or not test any of the landing stuff. That would be, it would still be a huge win for them. But I really hope they do try and do a soft landing on the ocean with the booster, as well as Starship, if they get that far. But there's so many things that could go wrong that any of that stuff is just gravy.
Yeah, so, once they get to
did
orbital.
You see the,
are they making just, it to orbital velocity? I don't remember. If
we talked about this, I think, in a previous show. I hope that they try and get to orbital velocity and then slow it down. They do have a long time up there. It's 45 minutes around the Earth, so they should have enough time to get up to speed, or at least close to it. We'll have to see what they decide they want to do.
Yeah.
Did you see the launch orbital flight maps that they've got out there? This is the area that a ship shouldn't be in and that sort of thing. Going through the Gulf, you've got, it goes just south of Florida, the sort of the launch trajectory. And then as it lands, it'll be going from the southwest to the northeast, east-northeast, just north of Hawaii and southwest of Hawaii as well. Really cool to see those maps and understand exactly how this thing's going to fly. And we'll have to see what happens.
Do you think you'll be able to see the rocket in Key West if you're way down south? Because it's going to go right underneath Key West and like
absolutely
right across.
You
I think you'll be able to see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a cool road trip, man. Once they announce it, We'll see what the budget's.
Yeah, it's heading right between Key West and Havana.
I'm on the East Coast. There's nothing like taking a quick trip down to Florida to Key West to have a little vacation and watch a rocket launch. Watch the Starship fly overhead.
Off you go.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Take me with you in your suitcase, would you?
All right, that's cool. You'd have to do some sneaky. We'd have to sneak you down here.
And then we'd get, the border isn't closed. Canadians are allowed through the border at this point.
Well, I thought you were going to do the whole mission in a suitcase.
Okay.
That would be bad.
That's just for the flight down there.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad then. You take a flight to Key West. That would work too.
Yeah.
I'm not flying. I would rather drive. I think it'd be fun to drive down there. So this orbital flight test, Eric Berger had a thing that he talked about on Twitter, which was, I was concerned about this too. And I've been concerned about this for a while, is that SpaceX launch license more than likely coming this week or really early next week. Eric Berger said the real risk that he's heard about is a last minute civil lawsuit. And the F issues a license and a civil suit is immediately filed for environmental reasons. And it's possible a judge would issue a temporary injunction. Then he says SpaceX is very close to being ready. Technically, they'll make a decision soon about whether they're ready to proceed with the launch. This is April 4th that he said this, or need to step back for a few more days to review data ahead of the attempt. But barring legal action, this thing is happening this month. So if something does happen, if an environmental group or somebody halts this launch due to environmental reasons, if it's anything like the last one, there could be a delay of months. And SpaceX going to sit around and wait for this? Or do you think they're going to move operations to Kennedy Space Center at this point? Because if it's going to be 6 months to a year, could they just be like, you know what, Texas, thanks, but we got to move because you guys are not treating us well. I don't know. It seems like one of those things that is a total possibility, and it will probably happen. There will be something. And if a judge goes, let's wait till after the launch and then see what happens.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, they've done other launches in the past of test rockets and whatnot, and this hasn't happened. Also had the opportunity, the public had the opportunity to submit their issues over the last 2 years and get them looked at and reviewed and answered by SpaceX. I wonder if anything, it'll be a ploy to just delay it a little while. And nobody's more environmental than I am, but I feel like they've already had their opportunity. Anybody who would be interested in delaying it that for that reason, they've had their opportunity to speak, and SpaceX has had their opportunity to answer. And we're almost at the point of a license being issued based on those questions and those answers.
Yeah,
this license isn't coming out of nowhere. It's 2 years in the making. So I think it's possible that somebody might try and delay it for that reason, but I think it's just a delay. I don't think that it's something that's going to stop the program in Texas.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with a delay than I am them actually moving. It was just a hypothetical. Then they had to do 77 things, I think it was, for the environmental PEA to appease the last F stakeholder agreement or engagement for the environmental review and permitting process. So I think it was 77 things. Altogether, but yeah, they passed everything.
We've been through this already. Yeah, we've been through this. We've done it. We had SN11 explode over the landing pad and send debris everywhere. All that stuff has been answered. All those potential issues have been discussed and dealt with. It seems to me it would be more petty at this point than it would be practical.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's more like come on at this point. You're really going to do this? Okay.
Yeah. At some point you have to say, what do we have to do next? Because they've already answered all of the questions that were raised. Why would we have to answer more?
Yep. Exactly. There are environmental groups nearby that have spoken up numerous times, so many different ways on different platforms.
And keep in mind that Kennedy Space Center is sitting on a wildlife conservation area. Right. There's no other issues there that don't exist in Texas, with the exception of perhaps certain species that lives in Texas and not in Florida, something along those lines. But it's the same scenario that you've got experimental rockets happening but you've got rockets flying in Florida. There's no difference to them flying in Texas.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm 100% with you there. And I think that if the environmental agencies get involved, or the FAA pauses this for some reason, or a judge pauses this, it'll be short. And I think SpaceX will be able to get through this pretty quickly, and they'll be able to navigate it. And then maybe a month or so, and then we'll be back to launch cadence of, I think they have a license for 5 or 6 per year down there. I forgot which one it is, but
it's going to be increased very fast.
Yeah.
Actually, if they're successful in this one, it will be extended very quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it'll.
And keep in mind that SpaceX isn't just sitting there with their hands or their fingers in their ears, not listening to anybody. They're well aware of all the issues that you just brought up, and they're ready. Their lawyers are sitting there ready.
Yeah, they know what's going to happen. They know exactly what these people and these groups are all about, and they know what they can do to defend themselves. To a degree,
these people and these groups, they have a point, right? We will have to make sure that the environment is cared for and is safe for all these launches and whatnot. They have very good points. However, the points have been answered.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. And those people, they have their own freedom to bring anything that they need to against SpaceX. But also, if it's not worthy, then SpaceX should fly this rocket. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for it to freaking fly. There's one more historic thing in the Brownsville area. It's a lighthouse that is a concern because it's a historic lighthouse, and it's off right on the way into the island, South Padre Island. And I've seen it a bunch of times. It's beautiful, but they're worried that the structure is going to shake and that it could cause some structural damage. And I'm not sure because they haven't done a lot of data. There's not much data out there yet because they've only done a 31 engine static fire so far of what this thing is actually capable of. And that wasn't even full power. Yeah, that's the only other thing I can think of, that like some sort of historical agency or historic society could step in and figure out a way to do something to postpone this until they get more data. So that's all I can think of.
How do you get data like that?
Yeah, you don't. I don't think you can until it actually launches, right?
Yeah, the only thing you can do is have a structural engineer go through and say, this is potentially what could happen, and here's the stresses that it could take, and this is stresses that it can't take. But even the structural engineer at that point is guessing to a certain degree. They haven't put it through the structural test. They haven't put it through stress tests. And the only thing you can do is hope for the best. If anything does happen, maybe SpaceX jumps in and rebuilds it.
That would be cool.
Totally worth it to them.
Oh, 100%, yeah. They have great engineers at SpaceX too, so they could probably beef it up. they'll make it shiny and steel like a starship.
At some point, you've got to understand if a structure is in danger of collapsing to an earthquake, which is basically what we're talking about here, right? It's just vibrations. Then it should be reinforced anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the seismic activity is down in Texas, but it must not be very much if it hasn't had any issues so far.
Yeah, I don't think there's much going on down there as far as seismic activity. The only thing that I can think of is hurricane season, hard rains, wind, things like that have already beaten it up. I don't think any, like much of this 33 engine Raptor launch is going to do much to it in comparison to some of that stuff. Those are brutal. Some of those things are brutal down there. So who knows, though? We'll see after the launch. But this is going to be, I'm excited, man. This is going to be one of the most exciting things as a spaceflight enthusiast that I will ever have witnessed since the space shuttle, or even when I was a very small kid, when I was watching the Apollo launches and how it opened my eyes to what's capable, what we're capable of. We can leave this Earth finally, and we can go to the moon, and this starship could possibly continue to do that in a rapid way. As times a year, we could send things to orbit and then to the moon, to Mars, and wherever else we want to go in the solar system, apparently. According to SpaceX, it's going to be exciting.
Well, keep in mind that we were very excited about Falcon 9 launches not that long ago. Now they're just commonplace. They happen every couple of days. And most of the time we don't even realize it. Well, they get boring after a while because nothing goes wrong. Everything's perfect. Landing is perfect. I can't wait for the time where we get used to that and we get bored by SpaceX Starship launches. It's going to take a long because we got to get through a launch schedule that they don't have any issues and they get home all right and everything lands perfectly. And then we go to the moon. And we have all those missions to take care of, and those are going to be exciting. And the whole time we're working on our Mars missions as well. So it's going to be a long time till we're bored with Starship, but at some point we're going to get to a point where we're bored with Starship, and that's going to be fantastic.
That'll be incredible. Most of the Falcon 9, and I hate to say this, but most of the Starlink missions and most of the missions that SpaceX has from a Falcon 9, I don't really watch them anymore. They're like, it's clockwork now. It's like watching somebody drive down the road. They're going to go 30 miles per hour through this zone. They're going to stop at that stop sign. They're going to make a right-hand turn more than, and then like they're going to, everything's going to be fine.
I'm still fascinated by the landing of the booster.
The landing, yeah.
I'm so fascinated by this 7-story building just landing upright on this barge out in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously advanced and sci-fi to me. And I love it every time. I have not gotten bored by that in any way.
That's the one thing.
But the launches, is like, ho-hum.
Yeah. The landings, though, yeah. I agree with you. 100% about the landings. Yeah. So eventually Starship will be there, and that'll be amazing. And we'll just watch a rocket get caught by some catch arms, lower down the booster, refurbish it a little bit, move it over, have the Starship land, put the Starship on top of the booster.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Launch again within the next day, 24-hour turnaround, possibly earlier, according to Elon. Could be hours. Elon time. Right. And that all starts, within the next few weeks, hopefully, of this first initial orbital flight test of Starship. So we're here to watch history. And like I said before, I urge everybody out there to go to SpaceX's YouTube channel and hit subscribe there. And also this YouTube channel, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button because it helps us out a bunch. But I think we covered it. Is there anything else we need to cover about Starship?
I believe SpaceX's YouTube stream will be live a half hour before launch when it does happen.
Oh, right on. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
And of course, there will be other YouTube channels that will have coverage as well.
Yeah.
But the official SpaceX channel, I believe, is a half hour beforehand.
And they'll have the best coverage. 100%.
They have fantastic views.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll have drones. They'll have helicopter. They'll have the close cameras in the launch pad. Yeah. They have fantastic views.
They run it like,
and of course, during the launch, they'll have cameras all over the booster and the Starship as well. It's going to be quite the show.
And not only that, they will have engineers that have worked on Starship more than likely doing the commentary or people that are really close to that.
That's their modus operandi. They always have those engineers as the broadcasters.
Yep.
So they're very well spoken and know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. I think we're good with Starship stuff today. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Neil, for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thanks everybody for tuning in, and hit the subscribe button or follow button on whatever platform you're on right now and help us out a little bit. That'd be great. Take care, everybody. And I will see you in the next one.